Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. The Ghostbird Theater Company is preparing for their final performance for this season, Samuel Beckett's play Catastrophe. The location for this one-night-only performance, May 4th, has not yet been announced, but that's a part of what this unique theater company is all about. Ghostbird boasts as the only theater company in the American South that is fully dedicated to creating site-specific performances. Whether company members are taking on a classic play or unveiling a new original work, the physical venue, the space itself, its history and aesthetics are always an integral part of their intimate and immersive productions. For the remainder of the hour, Ghostbird Theater Company members are with us in studio to explore the history and interpretations of this politically themed comedy, to further explore Ghostbird's unique approach to theater performance, and for a sneak peek at what we might expect in the coming season this fall. We're speaking with founding company member Caitlin Gravel. Caitlin's talents mean she wears many hats. She's an actor, musician, composer, singer, dancer, choreographer, hairstylist, makeup artist, stage manager, poet, and costume designer. I'm tired just saying all that. She graduated from Florida Gulf Coast University in 2012 with a Bachelor of Arts degree in English and theater. And that same year, she became one of the founding members of the Ghostbird Theater Company. Caitlin Gravel, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you. Hi.
And we're also joined in studio by fellow Ghostbird Theater Company founding member Jim Brock. He's an actor, playwright, lyricist, and dancer. Brock has been a literature professor here at FGCU since 1998. His book author credits include Gods and Money, Pictures That Go Small, Nearly Florida, and The Sunshine Mine Disaster. He's also written several plays, including the Chicken Play, Because Beauty Must Be Broken Daily, and The Pumpkin Grower, in addition to a translation of the play The Guardsman. Brock's poetry has been featured in numerous national literary magazines, including Northwest Review, Seattle Review, and Southern Poetry Review, among others. Jim Brock, welcome back to the studios.
Thank you, John.
And we're joined by Ghostbird Theater Company member, director, playwright, designer, and actor Barry Cavan. He's been a professor of theater here at FGCU since 2005, and he's directed, produced, and designed more than 40 stage productions and other creative projects, including several original plays that have been premiered by the Ghostbird Theater Company. That includes Number 27, which he co-wrote with Caitlin, and The Perfect Island of Dr. Teed, about Astero's Koreshian Unity founder, Dr. Cyrus Teed. Barry, thanks for taking the time to be with us today as well.
Thanks for having us.
And I invite listeners to connect with our guests and join the conversation. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And to start off, I wanted to give listeners just kind of a better idea of what the Ghostbird Theater Company is all about. Originally when it started, was this whole emphasis on site-specific performances part of what you set out to do?
Well, actually, we started as the resident theater company for the Sidney and Byrne Davis Arts Center. We were there for 3 years. And we were actually doing site-influenced work there where we would use features of the building as part of the staging. But we pretty well used up that building. We still have a relationship with Sidney and Byrne Davis Arts Center for the 24-hour festival. But we wanted to venture out. We had these opportunities to go to different venues that are not theatrical and build plays around them, whether it's the Koreshian State Park, Unity Studio, Happy Hatchie Center. And so we try to create work that fits that place.
So what typically comes first now? Is it, I mean, do you select the play or before you have the venue, or do you usually have a venue in mind and then either select a classic play or you know, have somebody like Barry write one?
Yeah, it really depends on the kind of play that we're writing or that we're doing, and also the venue. We've done two shows at Koreshian, the two different shows, but basically about the same story. One was much more of an impression of the story rather than a kind of biographical sketch of the story. So it really depends. I don't really know which comes first, to be honest. Sometimes the place inspires all of the writing, and sometimes it's a kind of collaboration between the space and the writing once the writing starts.
Is there a lot of research that's involved, say, when you're producing an original work, regarding the venue and its history?
Yeah, you have to do that. Have to do the research, trying to find out oral tradition and any kind of written tradition about that particular space. And that's kind of the most exciting thing about doing the projects. working with local knowledge, finding out what's happening here, what has happened here in the past, and carving together or putting together a kind of story about that.
Are there some maybe past examples, Barry, that are you know, like favorites to you that really sort of exemplify this, you know, merging of the venue and the production itself?
Well, I have to say the Koreshin story to me is probably my favorite because it happens so close to where we are right now. And because there's so many layers of history there, starting with the Kalusa people and then coming forward into history with the Koreshin people, and then today as a state historic site, and the people who are keeping that history alive, working with all those layers of history and bringing in an audience today and working with that. It was a wonderful experience.
I'm really sorry I missed that. I mean, that site, you know, I mean, you actually have like the gravesite of the last surviving Koreshin, Gustav Domkoller's cabin. Mm-hmm. I mean, the ghosts are palpable even when there's not theater production going on.
Yeah. Definitely feel it.
Is there a downside to, you know, providing these site-specific works? And I'm just thinking logistically, like, if I'm going to go see something by Theater Conspiracy or the Florida Rep, I get in my car and I don't even have to think about where I'm going. But with this, you know, people have to be a bit more engaged than maybe your typical audience patron might be.
Well, we stage at places that are businesses or parks or are their own entities. And sometimes we have to go in, mount all the lighting, take it down, strike it, and build it show by show. Our runs are typically – one liability is our runs are usually very short, usually only about 4 shows, depending upon what we can have access to. So there's a number of challenges there. We're also building the place from scratch, making the music. Caitlin does a lot of that. And building, you know, working with other artists to make puppets and masks. And so it's a labor-intensive work, but we typically only do 3 shows a year. So it's you know, there's the trade-off there, I think.
Well, let's talk about this upcoming May 4th production of Samuel Beckett's Catastrophe. You know, personally, I haven't been involved in theater in any way besides an audience member since high school. So for me, it's like I think Waiting for Godot. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't even really familiar with Catastrophe until I sort of went down that hyperlink rabbit hole whenever you're doing online research. Can you give us maybe a little bit of a brief primer on what Catastrophe is all about?
Well, I was introduced to this show in New York. I saw a piece called By and For Havel, and that's where I first saw Catastrophe. It was written for Havel, Václav Havel. The play is essentially about a sort of tyrannical director, and what it's examining is how a director or any position of authority has authority over another and what the results of that is. And that's basically what it's about. It's a very short play. That's probably, 10 minutes maybe?
Maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Along with – we have a couple announcements to make regarding Catastrophe and the mounting the production.
Yes.
The venue.
Oh, you're going to tell us the venue?
Yeah.
All right. Big reveal.
Caitlin.
Oh, I can tell the venue. Yay. So the venue will be at the – what is
this? Oh, my goodness.
It's drum roll, please. We're going to keep you waiting.
It's a Langford Kingston home on First Street, 2500 First Street. It's where we started the season this year with Writing Shadows. So we're going to stage Catastrophe there at the historical home, one show at 8 o'clock, the other show at 9 o'clock. We're also going to be coupling it with an original play that Barry wrote called Ib. Inspired by Beckett, and it's another very short piece that works as a counterweight to Catastrophe.
Interesting. And of course, you know, you had mentioned Havel, who at the time was an imprisoned Czech reformer and playwright, and Beckett actually dedicated the mm-hmm. play to him. Can you tell us maybe more about the real-life political context that inspired that play, or were there things going on in the world stage today that made you want to do this now?
Yes. there are things.
It's a loaded question.
Yeah, right. There are plenty of things going on today. But when I do a play, I kind of want to leave the audience in this ambiguous place so that they can sort of think for themselves and ask questions and have discussions afterward rather than drive a particular interpretation. And so I tend not to try to talk about that too much because I love – one of the things I love about directing and creating work is listening to audience members talking about it afterward. And they wrestle with these things because a lot of things that I do make no sense, you know, at first. And so it takes some unpacking. And that's what keeps me going, hearing those kinds of conversations. And so I'd rather not say.
Sure, sure. I understand. Yeah. You know, and of course, there's the underlining, you know, allegory about, you know, perhaps the dangers of you know, totalitarianism.
Yeah.
But on its surface,
this is just a story about a director who is, you know, yelling and screaming and getting their way in this particular instance, and the results is this poor little person standing in the middle on a plinth.
As playwrights, directors, and actors yourself, I mean, can you all kind of relate to the more literal meaning of the play, I suppose?
Yeah.
Well, we're talking with members of the Ghostbird Theater Company, Barry Cavan, Caitlin Gravel, and Jim Brock, ahead of their final performance this season of Samuel Beckett's Catastrophe on May 4th. And I invite listeners to join the conversation as well. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, again, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. And, you know, this play itself, as I understand it, there's really only three players or characters that we see. There is Luke, but he's more alluded to than actually seen. Who from the theater company is going to be acting in this upcoming production?
I'll be playing the assistant.
Okay.
Jim here will be.
I'm the poor hapless protagonist.
Okay.
I get to stand on the plinth the whole time. And the director is Dana Rollerson. She's coming back. She's a company member we've had in a number of our earlier productions. Mm-hmm. And Henny Zuniga will be playing Luke. So, and it's really dominated by the director.
Mm-hmm.
And the assistant is just the probably prototypical helpless and hapless individual who has to take orders from the big bad boss.
Mm-hmm.
And since you've previously put on a production in this, you know, historic home in downtown Fort Myers, what can you tell us about the venue? It sounds like it's going to be a pretty intimate performance.
Yeah, the venue is really unique because of not only the history, but it's really not used very much. So it's a nice spot to create. In with, you know, the limited amount of lighting and design that we have. So it'll be really fun. And what's also neat is the feeling of the building itself is you just feel the history. You feel like it's been lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that adds this whole separate character almost to whatever we have done in there. So
yeah, it's a beautiful spot.
Yeah, you know? It really is.
Yeah, I mean, what we, you know, we have very low overhead, obviously, and we are working with the definitions of the building itself, but there's also a character and spirit of that space that can, that certainly colors, you know, how the audience interacts with the actors and how we stage our productions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really wonderful artistic challenge for us, I think, as we conceive these plays.
Yeah, our first play of the season was there in the house, and we took the audience with us throughout different rooms in the building. So we would stage a piece in the kitchen, tiny little place, and the audience peering around corners and upstairs and on the stairs and downstairs in the grand room. So it's a beautiful little place, and it's empty, so it suits us very well.
Excellent. Well, tell me about, you know, the theater company members, because, you know, looking at who's all involved, usually you think a theater company, you think like, okay, you want actors. And of course you have that, but you utilize everybody's creative talents, you know, whether it's music or set design. Is that something you look for in theater members, people who are, you know, multifaceted talents and just creativity, really?
Yeah, I'd say we love collaborating with all types of artists in the community. I mean, we used Cesar Aguilera for some of our masks for the chicken play. Just we're very open, actually, right now, even to having more types of artists work with us, and even actors that are interested in creating music and, you know, all the different elements that we love to create, you know.
I think one thing that marks us, too, is that we I like to think of it that we're kind of a homegrown artistic group, that we create artwork. We bring in visual artists. We bring in soundscape artists. We bring in choreographers and dancers. And so for one play that we're planning for next year, which is going to be at the ACL Railroad Depot that's being restored, I'm imagining that as being something where we bring in a wide range of artists. And so our performers are not necessarily actors per se, but they're bringing in their other talents that we're able to collaborate with, build upon, and it's a process of discovery as we're making the theater.
How does one become a Ghostbird Theater Company member? Is there a formal process, or is it really kind of more organic?
I'd say it's more organic. If you're interested, you can always contact us via email or through our Facebook page. We have a lot of modes of getting in touch with us.
One thing that we want to say before we got many people coming in is that the kind of work that we do is non-traditional. And we're really excited about creating a family of non-traditional artists who are interested in kind of looking at new ways of doing theater. So just want to add that. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's very true.
And Caitlin, I imagine you probably studied under Jim and Barry when you were in school.
I did, yeah. I had the honor of having them both as professors, which blossomed into a great friendship. So,
But Caitlin and I first met doing a play for Barry, which was Jim's first play. Yeah, which was a complete disaster.
Well, I don't know about that, but
Jim was a complete disaster.
It was a wonderful play. It was a wonderful play, and however, you know, Barry was willing to work with me again after that was kind of so that was a really wonderful disaster bonding experience we had.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this May 4th production, I'm sure we can all assure everyone will not be in any way a disaster.
No, it's catastrophe.
It's catastrophe.
Oh, I'd like to say it's not considered a comedy.
So oh, it's not. Okay.
I'd like to have Barry clear that up just so that.
Yeah, well, because we heard you mention that it was comedy. And I think Jim owned up to our
throwing it out there.
It don't expect a comedy.
Okay.
And that little short piece. I haven't laughed yet, so I don't think of it.
I'm laughing all the time, though.
He's weird, though, you know.
Okay. Well, that is unfortunately all the time we have for today's show, but I want to thank my guests, Ghostbird Theater Company members, Caitlin Gravel, Jim Brock, and Barry Cavan. So great to have you all in studio today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
The Ghostbird Theater Company's final production of the season will be Samuel Beckett's play Catastrophe on May 4th. And you can check out more about the company, its members, and past performances online at ghostbirdtheatercompany.org. Thanks so much to my earlier guests, members of the Southwest Florida-based punk rock band Offset Era, Chris Clark, Vince Nelson, and Chad Young. Our show today was produced by Julie Glenn and yours truly. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm John Davis. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.